I'd like to call the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee meeting together. It is Thursday, March 29th, 2007. Present with us right now is Representative Kawasaki, Representative Fairclough, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Book. And what we have before us today is House Bill 210, which has to deal with the qualifications of the Adjutant General. And I see that this is Representative Dahlstrom's bill, so would you like to start us off by introducing your bill?
I would be happy to, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to present to this committee House Bill 210, and it pertains to the qualifications for the Adjutant General for the state of Alaska. This act relates to the appointment and the qualifications that are necessary for the Adjutant General, and I think we all are realizing more each day the role that the Guard, the military, and all those associated with the activities that protect our state, how important they are and the things that they do 24 hours a day. It's a nonstop job. In recent years, the Guard has undergone major changes. They've seen lots of organizational restructure, and the intent of this bill is to follow along with that restructuring so that we bring them up to step and to make sure that the person who is in the position as the state's Adjutant General is always adequately qualified to do the job for our state. So this is also meant to help improve the morale of the troops, and you know, basically that's just a very short synopsis of the bill. I know that everybody in this committee is supportive of our folks who are doing many things, not just defending our country, but working around the state whenever we have catastrophes and unplanned events that happen, and the Guard steps in and does whatever they need to do, again, 24 hours a day. So I would like to tell you that we do have online Colonel Bridges, I know, and also we have from the department McHugh Pierre, who is available for questions. And so I would just leave it at that and encourage a positive support from everyone on this committee. And if there's questions, we have some experts. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any questions of the sponsor of the bill?
Go ahead.
Representative Fairclough?
I'm not familiar with the rank and what the rank does, but I did go to the website, look it up, and look at how the military rank progresses, and it appears that this is one step up and would create an additional star. And I understand that there's no impact on state budget, and I support the Adjutant General we have and think he is a remarkable person who is actually a constituent of mine. So with deference to that and respect for that, is there an impact federally when we add a star to a retirement system that's already in place with someone who may be retiring from a federal system versus the state system in this particular movement?
Thank you for that question. Through the chair, I would say there is an impact in the fact that anytime you add a star to anyone, their responsibility and responsibility is just a good catch-all word for it all, increases greatly. So there is a huge impact, not just to our state, but their commitment and responsibility to the United States. As far as the physical impact, I would request that McHugh Pierre from the department address that.
I could also answer part of that. Having grown up as a military dependent my entire life, we learned at a very young age what rank meant and the significance of it. And I will tell you that anytime you have an increase in rank, regardless whether you're adding a star to a general or whether you add another stripe to an enlisted man, there, along with that, comes an increase in pay. And as a result of that, then it has an impact in terms of the benefit package they would receive at the time of retirement. So.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on to the financial question, I appreciate Representative Dahlstrom that the additional star is tied directly with additional responsibilities that our Adjutant General is carrying forward. And so my final question to the sponsor would be, is the four-star status that we're looking at here in Alaska comparable to the qualifications and federal requirements and responsibilities of four stars elsewhere? And I don't know if it's standardized or not. For that four-star requirement, or if it's exclusive into a state that I don't know if you line it up inside of a state or if you line it up from a federal level for the, for that ranking.
Through the chair, I understand your question exactly, and I think that either Mr. Pierre or Colonel Bridges would be the best one to answer that. But I do want to qualify or clarify that a lieutenant major is a three-star, mm-hmm. just for the, so, and this bill also states on page one, line five, that the governor may, so there is not anything in here that's saying that absolutely have to do that or need to do that, that the governor may. And if I was the governor, I would assume that depending on what was going on in the state, the responsibilities that that general was carrying would determine my making that decision and if it was an incentive to do that for the good of the state. But if I could ask...
Mr. Pierre, if you have anything you want to add to that, please state your name and your position for the record, please.
Yes, sir. My name is McHugh Pierre. I'm the legislative liaison for the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. And through the chair, Representative Fairclough, just to give some clarification, it's going from a two-star to three-star if and only if the National Guard Bureau approves of that change. This is putting us in position to follow the National Guard Bureau. A few other states have this already in statute, but currently the National Guard Bureau chief is a three-star, Lieutenant General Blum. And there's some talk and discussion right now of keeping him in his position. He's a very effective leader and very well-respected general, and that would require him to move to a four-star. If that change did occur, then National Guard Bureau would make a change down to the state level and authorize that all state generals, adjutant generals, could become three-star lieutenant general commanders. We could, with this statute, give him the rank in state. It would have no bearing whatsoever on the federal system. Until it is approved in federal statute, it will have no bearing on his retirement, his pay, nothing. If he puts on a uniform or is a third star at a conference with other generals will look at him and give him a very tough time because that is not his federally recognized rank. So until that becomes federally recognized, it will not come into play whatsoever.
Thank you very much. Any other questions of the sponsor or Mr. Pierre?
Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Fairclough.
I just wanted to thank Representative Dahlstrom. I appreciate the clarity in the answers and understanding how the federal impacts the state and that those qualifications, and just want to reiterate for the record that all those who place themselves in harm's way for our freedom, I very much appreciate. That's why I've chosen to serve on this committee. I want to be well informed, understand rank and how it's important to in peer-to-peer as well as in the chain of command that our troops work under. And so just thank Representative Dahlstrom for moving this forward and Representative Roses for bringing it to committee. Thank you.
Mr.
Thank
Pierre, you. Have you anything else you would like to add to the conversation?
I'd just like to let the chair know, or excuse me, the committee know, Mr. Chairman, that six other states have much more stringent standards than we do. While I was doing research, other states have similar standards, but this is very important for the troops themselves to see that their adjutant general has the respect of the other troops, but also the experience that the other troops have had and understand their system, and that's a very important part of this bill. Thank you very much.
Colonel Bridges, are you online?
I am, sir. Thank you.
Anything you would like to add or any comments that you'd like to make, please?
I would like to make sure that you receive my written testimony, which basically expresses the view of the Alaska National Guard Officers Association that I'm here representing.
We do have that, and if you would state your name and position, please, for the record.
Yes, sir. Colonel Mike Bridges, and I'm representing the Alaska National Guard Officers Association for this testimony.
Thank you very much. Go ahead and continue with your testimony.
Yes, the basic premise is, as McHugh was speaking there just a little bit ago, the morale and esprit de corps of the National Guard in any given state gets hurt, in my opinion, based on previous experience in Alaska, when people who are not from Alaska are placed in the adjutant general position. That's happened to us in the past with mixed results. Active component people come from regular Air Force, regular Army status, and they really don't know the Alaska National Guard. They've not experienced it. They don't know the uniquenesses, the good things, and the challenges with Alaska to start with. And we do have brilliant people in our ranks with the military education system, the combat experience the homeland and other emergency response deployments that the Alaska National Guard has been involved with, in particular the last 10 years. And the military educational program really puts our folks that come up through the officer corps of the Alaska National Guard, Army and Air, in an exceptional situation, background, and depth of education and experience to best lead our troops with the Alaska National Guard. Bringing in outsiders has been the issue in the past, and that's why we're sponsoring and supporting this adjustment and requesting that the governor look first within the Alaska National Guard before going elsewhere for the position of our adjutant general. And that's the main emphasis from the association.
And we appreciate that very much. We firmly believe in growing our own and promoting our own. So I appreciate that that statement very much. Is there anyone else online that wishes to testify? Anyone else in the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony on House Bill 210, and then we'll go to the committee. Are there any additional comments or concerns that any committee members may have? Representative Book.
And thank you, Chair. I do appreciate all the efforts and the comments from both of the women on this chair. It's amazing that we'd have to put together a committee and have that kind of support from the women. And I find it an honor to serve with both of you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or concerns? Seeing none, does someone want to move the bill, even though we formally don't have to? Representative Fairclough?
Well, is it appropriate for Representative Dahlstrom to move her own bill? I was going to go ditto back to. Okay. Then I'd like to move from committee HB 184.
210.
I'm sorry. That's all right. I'm looking at what's left in my packet. HB 210, I don't believe there's a fiscal note, but
zero fiscal note.
Zero fiscal note and any committee recommendations.
Okay. Any objection? Seeing none, House Bill 210 has passed, and I appreciate it very much. So we have concluded our work on House Bill 210, but I did have a question that I wanted to ask of Mr. Pierre on another topic, if we might. And Representative Fairclough brought to my attention in some of her research when she went online, the Adjutant General's Association of the United States. It looks like they're going to be in Anchorage on the 4th of June. Do you have any information you may want to share with us on that?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, I do have information on that. Every year, the Adjutant General's Association meets in some location. This year, Anchorage in Alaska is fortunate enough to host this organization. 54 Adjutant Generals will be meeting in our state. That's one from each state, one from the District of Columbia, and three from the territories. What we have is on the first day, we'll have a federal day, which Lieutenant General Blum, the National Guard Bureau Chief, will be attending, and there will be many staff from the National Guard Bureau here to discuss policies, movement forward, other future planning issues within the National Guard for the entire nation. And then the rest of the week, we'll have different opportunities for the other Adjutant Generals to be together to discuss policy, how their states respond, how the changes to the brigade combat teams, because many states have joined different coalitions to make these new changes to support the Army, how these different organizational effects are relating to their troops. And there will also be some fun activities as well, and I must say there's issues for sponsorship and, of course, your involvement, and we will definitely have invitations sent out. That way you're all aware of the activities that are going on, and I know that speaking for the Adjutant General, he is excited for all of you to attend when it does come to town. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the information, and I appreciate Representative Fairclough for bringing this forward so that I could ask the question. But I will want to warn some of the members around this committee, if you plan to partake in this on the 7th of June when they have a golf tournament, I'm going to tell you now, most generals are very good at golf. So be careful. Don't let them suck you into wagering anything on the golf game. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Chair, does that mean they have good aim?
Yes, they do.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you very much, and we look forward to those invitations. Anything else that any member of the committee would like to bring up? If not, we will stand in adjournment at 1:19 p.m. Thank you.